Subject of our study tonight is found in the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 6. Hebrews chapter 1 and in verse 6. Reading in the New King James Version in Hebrews 1 and in verse 6. But when he again brings the firstborn into the world, he says, let all the angels of God worship him. Psalm 2 and verse 7. The phrase, the firstborn, is an Old Testament phrase, been brought over into the New Testament. The Hebrew word, of course, denotes the firstborn of human beings, as well as the firstborn of animals. In Exodus 11 and verse 5, and all the firstborn in the land of Egypt shall die, God said. From the firstborn of Pharaoh who sits on his throne, that's the firstborn of man. Even to the firstborn of the female servant, the firstborn of man, who is behind the handmill, and all the firstborn of the animals. So when we speak about the firstborn, as reference both the firstborn of man and the firstborn of animals as well. In the Old Testament, as also in the New Testament though, the firstborn refers not only to the sequence of origin, because firstborn simply means that one was born before others. The firstborn of animal was the firstborn to that female animal, the first animal that came forth from her womb. Same thing in regard to man. The first man that came forth from the mother's womb. First from the womb. Firstborn. Whether it be animal or whether it be man. So the primary idea in it is sequence of origin. Sequence of origin, first in origin, first from the source of its mother. In regard to the sequence of origin then, being the firstborn simply points to the fact that one is born first. That's simply what it has reference to. For example, in Genesis 4 and in verse 4, Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat. And the Lord respected Abel in his offering. So Abel brought of the firstborn of his flock. That is the firstborn animal that came forth from the womb of its mother. That's the animal that he brought. Again, sequence of origin is under consideration. Same thing, not only is true in regard to animal, it's true in regard to man. Sequence of origin. Genesis 10 and verse 15. Canaan begot Sidon, his firstborn, and Heath. So Canaan begot Sidon. Canaan was the grandson of Noah. He was the son of Ham. But we have a great-grandson now of Noah. Canaan begot Sidon, his firstborn. His firstborn. The one that was first came from his mother's womb. He was the first one in the family. It indicates by the firstborn that there were others to follow. Others to follow as well. We see the same thing in regard to Jesus Christ being the firstborn. That is, the word is used in reference to the sequence of origin. Luke 2 and in verse 7. And she, that is Mary, brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes. He was the firstborn son belonging to Joseph and Mary. He was the first one that came from her womb. We know that he was first in origin from her womb because she had other children. Matthew 13 in verse 55. Is this not the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary, and his brothers James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas? And his sisters, are they not all with us? So Jesus was indeed the firstborn of Joseph and Mary. That is, first in origin. Because there were others to follow. But he was the first that came from his mother's womb. So in regard to the secrets of origin, being the firstborn simply points to the fact that one is born first. The firstborn in ancient times had certain privileges and responsibilities, though. The firstborn was the principal heir of the family upon the incapacitation of the father, through death or otherwise. The firstborn then would become the head of the family. The firstborn would receive a double portion of the inheritance. The firstborn was expected to provide for and take care of his mother after the father's death or incapacitation. He was also expected to take care of any unmarried sisters in the family. And before the tribe of Levi was set up and provided as a priesthood, the firstborn was expected to serve the priestly functions of the family. That is, you might say, he was the priest of the family. He's the one that offered the sacrifices. Many other things could be said about the firstborn in the Old Testament that's brought over into the New Testament in regard to sequence of origin, but I think you're familiar with that. But I also said, and it is also stated in the Old Testament as well as in the New Testament, that the firstborn not only refers to one who is born first, that is, it not only has reference to sequence of origin, but it also has reference to one's rank or superiority or preeminence over others. In regard to the superiority and rank or status of one, it was said of David in Psalm 89 in verse 27, "Also I will make him my firstborn, the highest of the kings of the earth." So God said, "I'm going to make David my firstborn." Wasn't his firstborn son. It speaks of his status, his rank, his preeminence over all others. Note this, the highest of the kings of the earth. Now during David's reign as God's firstborn, he never reigned over the kings of the earth. So that literally could not have been fulfilled in David. David could have been literally referred to as God's firstborn in reference to superiority, rank, status, or preeminence. But it could not have been said of David that he was the highest of the kings of the earth. That is, that he ruled and reigned over all other kings. I want to suggest to you that though this is spoken of David, it may have reference to Jesus Christ. Revelation 19 in verse 6, "And he has on his robe and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords." What we'll see in our study tonight is Jesus is the firstborn. Now, whether this passage has reference to Jesus or not, I don't know. But again, it was not literally fulfilled in David, but it certainly was in Jesus Christ. So in regard to superiority or rank or status or preeminence over others, it is said that David was the firstborn, the highest of the kings of the earth. It is also said that Israel was the firstborn of God. Firstborn of God in Exodus 4 and verse 22. "Then you shall say to Pharaoh," God speaking to Moses, "thus says the Lord, Israel is my son, my firstborn." The nation of Israel is referred to as God's firstborn son. Out of all the nations that existed upon the earth, the nation of Israel was in the eyes of God someone of preeminence, someone of high status, someone superior to all other nations. That was the nation of Israel. In Jeremiah 31 and in verse 9, the same thing. "They shall come with weeping and with supplication, I will lead them. I will cause them to walk by the rivers of water in a straight way in which they shall not stumble. For I am a father to Israel, and Ephraim is my firstborn." Ephraim is simply another name for Israel, the nation of Israel. Now you remember, Ephraim wasn't literally a firstborn son. As a matter of fact, Ephraim was literally a secondborn son. Remember, Ephraim and Manasseh were sons of Joseph, born to him in Egyptian bondage. And Ephraim was actually the second son that was born. Manasseh was the oldest. But here, "For I am a father to Israel, and Ephraim is my firstborn." Ephraim is simply another way of speaking of Israel, because the tribe of Ephraim was the largest tribe in the nation of Israel. And sometimes Israel is referred to in the Old Testament as Ephraim. So it is here. Ephraim is my firstborn. That is, in status, in superiority over all other nations, in preeminence over all other nations. God treated Israel as his firstborn son. It is also said that Christians are the firstborn. In Hebrews 12 and verse 23, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn who are registered in heaven. Note that, church of the firstborn. Actually, the Greek text is the church of the firstborn ones, because the word firstborn is in the plural in the Greek text. It has reference to Christians, to believers, those who are members of the church, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn ones who are registered in heaven. So Christians are referred to as firstborn ones. Why would Christians be referred to as firstborn ones? Because Christians make up what? They make up spiritual Israel. They make up the church, the family of God. Exodus 4 again, verse 22. Thus says the Lord, Israel is my son, my firstborn. And when we tie that connect together with the church, as Paul said in Galatians 6 and in verse 16, and as many as walk according to this rule, peace and mercy be upon them, upon the Israel of God. So as the Israel of God, as physical Israel, was considered by God as his firstborn, so is spiritual Israel, the church, considered as his firstborn ones. Those who make up the church, members of the church. So it is said that the church, or members of the church, that is, Christians, are the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven or registered in heaven. It is also said that Jesus is the firstborn. In our text we read tonight, Hebrews 1 and verse 6, but when he again brings the firstborn into the world. We want to study tonight about Jesus, the firstborn. Jesus, the firstborn. We've seen how the phrase firstborn is used. Sometimes it simply has reference to sequence of origin. But sometimes it has reference to superiority, rank, status, preeminence. It is said of Jesus that he is the firstborn. So let's study Jesus, the firstborn. There are several places in the New Testament where he's referred to as the firstborn. What does that mean? Does it have reference to his sequence of birth? Sequence of origin? Or does it have reference to his superiority, his preeminence, his rank or status? It is the latter that is under consideration in the passages that speak of Jesus being the firstborn. For example, in Colossians 1 and verse 15, he is the image of the invisible God. The he under consideration is Jesus Christ. He's the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. Now the Jehovah's Witness, when they come to this passage of Scripture, they say he's the firstborn over all creation. They take the word firstborn here to be sequence of origin. That is, he was the firstborn to God. That is, he was actually a begotten creature, like man. And so, Jehovah's Witness do not hold Jesus as deity. They believe he's a created being. But that's not what this passage teaches. Because the word firstborn here is not used in reference to sequence of origin, but it's used in reference to one's superiority, one's preeminence. And he is the firstborn, note this, over, there's the word that indicates that he's preeminent, over all creation. We see that in the context. Verse 16 and 17 of Colossians 1. For by him all things were created that are in heaven and in earth. By him, literally in him, that is, in connection with him. This shows his superiority over all God's creation. He himself is not a created being. He exists as the image of God, the very representation of God. And in Him, that is in connection with Him, all things were created that are in heaven and that are on the earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. Note this, all things were created through Him and for Him. And He is before all things. He existed before all things that are created. That tells us that He's not a created being. He is superior to all God's creation. He is preeminent over all God's creation because He created all. So when we see the phrase that He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation, it speaks of His superior status over all God's creation. That's simply what it has reference to. His superiority and preeminence over all God's creation. But then we have a statement in Colossians 1 and verse 18 that says He is the firstborn from the dead. Colossians 1 and verse 18. And He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He may have the preeminence. Now I want to go backwards with you just for a moment, because we need to understand what it means here, the firstborn from the dead. In order to understand Jesus being the firstborn from the dead, we have to look at the context in which we find the phrase. Remember what we just saw. Jesus is the firstborn over all creation. Over all creation. And then, verse 16 and 17, established His superiority or preeminence over the physical creation. Beginning in verse 18, it shows His superiority or preeminence over the spiritual creation. And He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead. Not only is He superior in rank and status and preeminence over physical creation, but He is over all creation, that which is physical and that which is spiritual as well. Who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He may have a preeminence or superiority. In all things, both physical and spiritual. He is the firstborn from the dead. Now, He was not the first one born from the dead. We can go to the Old Testament scripture and find people who were resurrected from the dead. We could come to the New Testament and the Gospel accounts and find that Jesus Himself, before His own resurrection, raised others from the dead. So it can't be said that He was the first one in origin or sequence to come from the realm of the dead. Others were. But He is the firstborn from the dead. But note what it's in connection with. It's in connection with the church. He is the head of the church. One who is head is superior. He's the chief. He is over the church, the body. Who is the beginning? Note this, the firstborn from the dead. It is true that when He was resurrected from the dead, He was resurrected to die no more. But all others who were resurrected from the dead would later die. But I'm not so sure that that's exactly what's under consideration here. In the phrase that He is the firstborn from the dead. It shows His superiority over death. Shows His superiority over death. Remember in Romans chapter 1 and verse 4, He was declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead. And by His resurrection from the dead, He ascended to the Father's right hand and became head of the church, the body, the church of Christ. I think it has reference to His superiority over that which is spiritual. Just as the previous context shows His superiority or preeminence over God's physical creation, Him being the firstborn from the dead shows His superiority, preeminence, over God's spiritual creation. In Revelation 1, in verse 5, John actually makes this statement as well. And from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead. So here in Colossians 1 and verse 18, he is the head of the body of the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead. As he is superior over God's physical creation, he is superior and preeminent over God's spiritual creation. Reading from verse 18 into 19 and 20, Colossians 1, "For it pleased the Father that in him," that is in connection with Christ, "all the fullness should dwell," all the fullness of the Godhead bodily dwelt in Christ. He was deity. Death could not hold him. He was not subject to death like normal man is. Remember, he became a man so he could die. But death had no power over him. He was preeminent and superior. He has authority over death and the Hadean realm. Colossians 1 and verse 20, "And by him to reconcile all things to himself." Know that. All things. Physical and spiritual. "By him, whether things on the earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross." Through the blood of his cross refers back, in the context, to him being the firstborn from the dead. He died on the cross, but lives. And all who are in the church live because of his resurrection from the dead. As a matter of fact, we're a new creation. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17, "If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation, a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new." It is also said of Christ that he is the firstborn among many brethren. Romans 8 and verse 29 in our reading tonight. "For whom he foreknew," that is God foreknew, "he," that is God, "also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he," that is the Son, "might be the firstborn among many brethren." The firstborn among many brethren. The idea is that he will be superior to his brethren. He'll be preeminent in rank and status over his brethren. That he might be the firstborn among many brethren. He's not going to be the first in sequence of origin. But his superiority and preeminence, again, is being mentioned by the phrase. "That, so that he might be the firstborn among many brethren." Note the context going back to verse 28. "And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God." But put a peg down there for a moment. Let me make mention of this. "We know that all things work together for good to those who love God." Many people wrench this out of the context. And they say, "Well, that child that got ran over in the street, you know that all things work together for good to those who love God." That's not even under consideration. There's no good that comes about when a young child is ran over in the street and killed. Now, there might be some good that comes from that, but that's not what's under consideration in the context. "We know that all things work together." The all things in the context are all things that God has done to bring about the redemption of man. All things that God has done is that which is under the context. "We know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose." Remember that from this morning? You're the called. And all things that God plans for your redemption works out to your benefit. "For whom he foreknew," that was me and you, "he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son," that's me and you, the called, "that he might be the firstborn among many brethren." He has preeminence over his brethren. Over us, brothers and sisters in Christ. "Moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called," that's me and you. "Whom he called, these he also justified," that's me and you. "And whom he justified, these he also glorified," that's me and you. Christ is superior. He's preeminent over us. Why is that? Well, because he is the firstborn. He is the firstborn. He's the firstborn Son of God. And the one who is firstborn has preeminence over others in the family. We studied this not long ago. Hebrews 2 and in verse 10. For it was fitting for him, that is for God, it was only right and proper for God, for whom are all things and by whom are all things, note this, in bringing many sons, plural, to glory. There's the brethren. To make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering, Jesus Christ. For both he who sanctifies, Jesus Christ, and those who are being sanctified, that's me and you, we're all of one. We're all of one family. For which reason he is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare your name to my brethren. In the midst of the assembly I will sing praise to you. But he is the firstborn among many brethren. He's the firstborn son of God. He has preeminence over us, superiority over us. Why? Because he's God's firstborn. That brings us to our text, Hebrews 1 and verse 6. But when he again brings the firstborn in the world, he says, let all the angels of God worship him. When he again brings the firstborn into the world. Firstborn in the context is clearly Jesus Christ. The he is God. When he again brings the firstborn into the world. When we studied this, remember I suggested to you that the world under consideration was the heavenly world. The spiritual realm. Remember, Jesus Christ is the firstborn over all God's creation, whether it be the physical realm or the spiritual realm. When God again brings the firstborn into the world, he says, let all the angels of God worship him. The firstborn under consideration is the firstborn son of God. We see this in the context. Hebrews 1 and verse 1 and following. God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by, literally, in his Son. That is, in the person of his Son. So the Son of God is mentioned at the very beginning of the text. Whom he appointed, note this, heir of all things. So God appointed the Son, his heir of all things. Under the old law, the firstborn son received a double portion of the inheritance. But Jesus Christ, as the firstborn son of God, is heir of all things, both physical and spiritual, through whom also he made the worlds. Verse 3, Hebrews 1, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become so much better, that is superior than the angels. Note this, as he has by inheritance obtained a more excellent or superior name than they. Well, what name did he inherit? Son. But not just a son. The firstborn son. Read on, Hebrews 1 and verse 5. For to which of the angels did he ever say, you are my son, today I have begotten you. And again I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. But when he again brings the firstborn in the world, he says, let all the angels of God worship him. When he brings the firstborn son into the world, he is the firstborn among many brethren. He is the heir of all things. He is our elder brother who rules and reigns over us in the family or house of God. Hebrews 3 and in verse 1 again. Therefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our confession, Christ Jesus, who was faithful to him who appointed him, as Moses was faithful in all of his house. For this one, that is Jesus Christ, has been counted worthy of more glory, more honor, greater honor than Moses, inasmuch as he who built the house has more honor than the house. For every house is built by someone, but he who built all things is God. Remember, God brought many sons to glory. He led many sons to glory. God created a family. the family of God or the household of God. And whom was it that God put over that household or family? The firstborn son. And Moses indeed was faithful in all God's house as a servant for a testimony of those things which would be spoken afterwards. Know this. But Christ as a son over his own house, whose house we are if we hold fast the confidence and rejoicing of the hope firm to the end. Christ as a son, not just a son, but the firstborn son over the house or the family of God. So let me sum this up. The phrase in regard to Jesus being the firstborn, whether it be the firstborn of creation, whether it be the firstborn from the dead, the firstborn son of God. All of those phrases have reference not to his sequence of origin, but to his superiority, his preeminence, his status. Primarily, his status and superiority over God's physical creation and over his spiritual creation. So when you're studying the scriptures and you see the phrase in regard to Jesus Christ, the firstborn, this or that, it has reference to his superiority and status in some way, his preeminence in some way. Most of the time it has reference to his preeminence over God's spiritual creation. Only that one occasion, Colossians 1 and verse 15, is it spoken of his superiority over the physical creation. The rest of the time it's his superiority over the spiritual creation. He is over the house of God. He is the head of the church, the body of Christ. The lesson is yours. I hope in the days ahead it will benefit you in some way as you study the Word of God. If you're here this evening and you're not a Christian, our desire is that you would become one through faith, repentance, confession, and baptism for the remission of your sins. Remember, by doing that, you become a member in the household of God. You become a family member. You become a son of God. And in that family, you'll be ruled and reigned over by the firstborn son, the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, to whom you will submit in obedience, hopefully, all the days of your life. And you'll enjoy his presence in eternity in heaven in the after a while. If you've obeyed the gospel in times past but have sin in your life, we encourage you, take this opportunity to make yourself right with God. Don't put it off. Repent of that sin. Confess that sin to God. And we'll pray with you and for you as we stand and sing the song that has been selected.